Welcome to another episode of Top Hat Topics. I am your co-host, Jen Snyder, and with me as always,
Kristen Hughes.
And so this is our ninth episode. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Sorry, we took a week off. We worked really hard to get those eight companion episodes out for everybody. And we were like, you know what?
We need a break.
We're going to take just a little break to gather our bearings. But don't worry, y'all. We gonna be here with you every week, right on until season two comes. The long wait. It's like the long night from Game of Thrones.
When is it? Do you know? Do you Google?
No, they haven't. They haven't confirmed anything. I mean, the rumor is that Shibden has now decided that they're going to be open during their winter months, which they're usually closed for because tourism has gone through the roof since all this.
I wonder why.
I know. I can't imagine what would it make all these people from all over the world swarm Halifax. So they're going to stay open through the winter months, which they usually have closed for maintenance. But the rumor, and I don't know if this has been confirmed or not, but I know that it was a rumor that they were probably going to be closing for filming to start sometime around May. So we've got at least a year and a half, like at the very, very least.
Because they're not even filming
yet.
Yeah,
like they're not even filming yet. So we've got at least a year and a half. Like,
son of a bitch.
This is like one of those situations where I ask God to please just let me live to see season two. Gentleman Jack, which is how I felt through all the Harry Potter movies and all of Game of Thrones. Game of I would Thrones, just be praying and be like, please, just let me live to see the end. Just let me, please, Lord, just let me live to see season two of Gentleman Jack. That's where we are.
Thank you, God, for good television. It is so rare that we are, it's what we're living for now. That's where we're at in life. Life is that. Anyways.
Just detach from reality as hard and often as you can.
I love that Shibden is like, nah, we got to stay open, child. We've been making some monies and shit. And then Sally's like, okay, but you want to make money? You need to make, let me shoot my shit.
Yeah. Like, just like y'all going to be closed for 6 months. So if I know we have a lot of listeners that live in Halifax. If someone wants to let us know about how many months Shibden was closed for when they were filming season one, let us know. So that'll give me a little bit more information to make an accurate prediction on when season two will hit us. So so we'll get started. As always, we want to remind you guys to email us thoughts, answer to our silly questions, and nominate a Gentleman Jack in your own life, of course, at tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com.
And then, as always, we want to shout out our groups, the Gentleman Jack fans, HBO and BBC One TV show, and our favorite crazy ladies over at Lister Sisters Off Topic Chat. Thank you guys for being so often awesome online and fun to interact with, because those groups, who's getting work done? Nobody.
The workforce. I'm telling you, the female workforce, I would love to see some real statistics on that, because I know.
Yo, some of those.
I know. It's all day, every day, and when none of us can help it.
Well, yeah. And most of the ladies on that chat are like important women doing something important job. And like they're managing to manage their obsession and their jobs and their wives, their girlfriends. And shout out to y'all.
Yeah, because I really, really admire that level of organization.
Well, and I mean, I think that's why we took a week off, is because that's what was going on in our lives. It's just like, it was crazy. Everybody, I was, you know, going out of town for shows and.
Yeah, life got real for a second. Yeah. And we was just like, ooh, we wanted to keep this fresh for y'all. Ain't none of y'all deserve to see us in our stressed out stressed out stink.
Yeah. So we're just we wanted to bring you the best cast possible. That's why we took a week off. And
Freudian slip.
And so this is what we got coming up for you guys. Now you know about the Lister Bronte crossover show that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and that's probably going to be a series. Cats Out of the Bag is probably going to be about three episodes. It's been a lot of hard work going into that, and we don't want to bring it to you guys until we feel like it is 100% as good as it can possibly get. So it's going to be a couple weeks. But that being said, until then, we are going to do some fun little commentaries for you guys just to keep you entertained. You know, we're going to have a long haul until season two. So God knows the stuff that we're going to get into. But we've decided that next week we're going to do an extra long episode where we are going to do commentary for Fried Green Tomatoes. A lot of people in the groups are currently reading the book, and there's been a lot of discussion around it and some of the similarities that it has to Gentleman Jack and Ann Lister's story. So we're going to do a commentary on that, and we want to encourage everybody, if there is a movie or a topic, anything that you would like to hear our banter.
Yeah.
regarding,
or just an episode about, yeah, like anything you want to talk about, or there's a few that we've got lined up, but we want to hear from you guys. We want to know what you guys want to listen to and what you want to hear about, and who you want to talk about. Is there other female figures that we're, you know, we haven't touched on or we need to touch on?
Yeah, this is really all about you guys. I mean, we feel like we're just sharing the conversations that we have on a daily basis with a whole bunch of our closest friends at this point, so...
I mean, that show is so cool, the way it's brought people together. I've seen that people have met and are dating off the groups.
Yeah, I know.
We've met new friends, and we've learned cool stuff. And, I mean, I've learned more about English culture or British culture. Am I saying it?
Yeah.
Fucking that up right now?
No, you got it. You got it. Play. I got it. Got it.
Yeah, but I think that's cool, man. Like, I've enjoyed learning about Madeira. Like, we had no idea about Madeira. We weren't drinking it, and now we are.
And now I think that people are peasants that don't know what it is.
Just rubbing our fingers on our glasses like, you don't know what Madeira is, fools.
Cheers. Amanda actually did that to me at brunch yesterday when we came to see you. She was holding up her Bellini and she went, "Who am I?" Just in case you guys don't know, we're doing the Saran Jones middle finger glass flick.
You know, I mean, like, I hope that Sally knew that it was going to be like this, but, like, probably, like, it, all people that are creative and things like that, you know, she probably had a lot of moments of doubt, like, you know, maybe this is only going to be a one season thing. Maybe we're
and
only going
to... And I think that's really what they thought, because it had taken her over a decade
to get
this show picked up.
Yeah.
And... the reason why it sped up so fast in that second half of the season is because they did not know that they would get picked up for a second season. And Sally has said herself, like, you know, she has enough material that she could write several seasons of this, that she would make it until she couldn't make it anymore if she could. And the exact quote from her was that it was a dream that it got picked up for season two. And I mean,
chop, Sally, get to writing,
you know,
girl.
And it's starting to become more and more evident as more time goes on, just how big of an impact this had as far as representation goes. You know, like, we've seen a lot of evolution in the media for the way that lesbian culture is portrayed. It's ever evolving, and on so many occasions, it has failed us. And, you know, even the actors and the actresses and everybody is saying this is the first, even being a period drama, this is the first real time that everybody has been able to really, really relate to this representation. To somebody that lived 200 years ago, this is the first time that we have been best represented. And it's just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't read that, but that's what you read?
Yeah.
Somebody said that?
Yeah.
That's cool. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see what she does with these future seasons. And it's kind of cool that Shibden Hall has had to be like, we're going to keep open a little longer because it's really being so successful that people are. And I think it's not just, I mean, and it's not just lesbian culture. It's not just lesbians, like. It's straight people too. Like
it is.
A lot of people really, really like this show. And they like the characters and getting to know the history behind it. Like, that's so amazing that people can be, I don't know, entertained while being educated.
Isn't that the best type of entertainment? I mean, isn't that art?
Yeah, that is art.
Isn't that the actual definition of art?
Yeah, fair enough.
So congrats
to Sally
and everybody who worked on that show, because you didn't just create a piece of media. You created art.
Yeah, that inspired people and has inspired to groups and podcasts and marriages
art.
And, yeah. And art. Oh, some
performances and creation. I mean, I just feel like everything about this show has inspired the best from so many people. Like, it's inspiring people to be the best, most authentic version of themselves.
It really has. And it really has emboldened women. And I like anything that does that. I like anything that encourages women to not apologize for the space that they take up in the world. I feel like women are often beat down and they're told to, you know, kind of dim their light so that others can shine.
To self-deprecate.
Yeah. And this show has really encouraged women to not do that and to, you know, just be honest about the space you take in the world and don't apologize for it under any circumstances.
Take up all the space that you possibly can.
That you need. Yeah. And there's not enough good enough things that we can say about it. The art that is inspired, the music, the poetry, even the tattoos, man. I've seen some really cool tattoos.
Yes.
And some of the art that we've seen has been amazing. I want to get a few pieces of the art that I've seen on some of the...
Oh, yeah.
On some of the group chats. Like, man, some of y'all... There was one girl that did like a... She said it was a... She was a hasty drawing of Shibden. And I was like, man, I'd hate to see a really well thought out one. Because holy shit, that was good.
Wow, that's hasty?
Yeah, and I hate when really...
That would have taken me 7 hours and 28 minutes.
You know, that is something that really talented women seem to be taught to do, is to downplay how amazing they are. Like...
All of us.
Yeah, don't play. That was incredible. It was so well done. It was so detailed. I was like, girl, if somebody was like, I'll give you $1 million to do this, I would cry and cry and draw something not very good and then cry some more and talk about how I'm never going to help my family because I couldn't do it. And then, you know what I'm saying? And like, this person had almost dismissed their talent completely, just as, you know, yeah. Oh, it's just quick. So I'm like, man.
But it was beautiful.
It was amazing. It was incredible and perfect. And I really love this show that encourages women to not downplay their greatness. Man, we're great. Stop letting people try to convince you that you're anything other than that. And I love that that's the message of, I mean, for me, that's the message of Gentleman Jack, is to own who you are. That's what Ann Lister did.
Know your worth.
For sure.
That's what it's really all about. So that being said, guys, it's probably going to be a little bit of a short episode. We figured since this is the first episode since the finale episode, that we would hit you guys with a little recap in our own words, talk about some of our favorite and least favorite moments and do a couple predictions for season two.
Can you go first?
All right, so I'll go first. All right, so we're calling this, it's super creative, guys. Stay with me. Recap in your own words. We'll see how different Jen and I's turn out.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, got to set the tone. Must have a little bit of drama. Halifax, 1832. Sink the ship. So, you know, we enter into Halifax, 1832. Looks like an early industrial setting. Obviously, England, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ann Lister is coming home. I'll just skip all the filler in between. Ann Lister is on her way home from Hastings. And even before she arrives home, there's already a vibration in the air where it's almost like, people's spidey senses can sense that she's coming home. People already talking about how great she is, how they can't wait for her to be home. Her sister Marion is, you know, being a negative Nancy and a jealous Janet in her modest ass woman dress. And surprisingly, on the streets of Halifax, we see a beautiful stoic figure riding a wagon as fast as she can through the cobblestone streets. And it's Ann Lister. And that's when we see her for the first time and we say, ah, our heroine.
You don't know anything about brevity.
No, I don't. I'm a storyteller. I'm trying really hard.
This is the world's longest recap. I cannot wait to
I'm still in season one.
You're still in the first episode, Boo Bear.
Yeah, episode one, not season one.
Anyway, don't think that we haven't had some Madeira. Go on.
I'm going to speed it up.
Okay, here we go.
I'm here for it.
Here we go.
All right, so.
Yeah.
Anne's pretty mad that she got to go back to Shibden, shabby little Shibden. She's been an Icarus. She's flown too close to the sun. She wanted too much, and now she got to go home and deal with her family. So, you know, shit's going down with the fam. They ain't keeping everything together like she wants it to be while she was gone. Her sister's being a bitch, wants to know what's wrong. Why didn't she, or, you know, why did she come home from Hastings? And that pissed Ann off, and she showed us a moment of vulnerability. And then she's, like, catching up with her Aunt Ann, and her Aunt Ann is like, oh, yeah, you know that girl that live up the street, Ann Walker? Like, you know, she's alone. You might need to talk to her. You know, she need a friend. She got money, et cetera, et cetera. Needless to say, Ann finally meets Ann Walker.
Almost through episode one. Good job. Keep going. Almost there, buddy.
So whatever time we've reached at this point since I started, times that by eight.
We're going to do eight episodes of Kristen's recap of season one. This is the first episode of Kristen's recap.
I'm trying really hard. Look, the setup took some detail, but I'm going to get to it now.
Are you bringing it home?
Okay. So you know what? They meet, and upon first sight is love. Like, y'all, that is the look. You just fell in love. It's over. It's done. Donezo. So, you know, Ann Lister has got to be, you know, the proper gentleman, no pun intended, but kind of. And she courts her. They make out in the chaumier, a.k.a. the she shed. They get it on. They get caught. You play them with fire.
Fire!
Ann's like, oh, yeah, I'm all about this life right here. They go to York. They get it on some more. They come home. Little Annie's friend has passed away by being thrown from a carriage, which automatically sounded iffy. But she's a little bit more on edge because this creepy preacher man has sent her a letter and she won't tell Anne what it is, which in 1832 language, that was the same thing as telling your significant other that they can't look at your phone or that you won't give them their passcode.
Fair.
So that's that. So needless to say, little Annie, sweet little cinnamon roll, fresh out the oven, so precious. She starts getting more and more stressed out until she finally tells Ann that homeboy basically raped her. And she thinks it's her fault. And she thinks that it's her duty to marry him. And our girl, Ann Lister, is like, I don't think so. I will cut him if he comes near you. What you need is a well-worded letter.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that happens. Basically, Ann Lister runs that preacher man off. He was trying to big dick her, but she showed him who was who. He runs off. Well, little Annie is still, now her whole tribe knows what's going on because Nosy Bonnet Priestley had to go and tell everybody that they've been getting it on. And little Annie is even further into the depths of doubting her relationship with R. Ann Lister. Now, behind the scenes, all this going on, Anne's trying to deal with her coal pits. The Rawsons are trying to jerk her around, and she's not having it. And she's becoming a total professional on the whole coal industry. Needless to say, little Annie Walker has a total mental breakdown. And Ann Lister is like, look, I'm going to have to tell your sister. Like, I don't know what to do for you. You are hearing voices. I don't want you to go away, but you've made it clear that you think that what we do is repugnant, so I just need to get you some help. So she lets the sister know, but the sister has got a mean-ass husband, and a mean-ass husband wants all that Walker money in his name because he's married to Elizabeth. So he somehow sets up the whole situation to where Miss Walker has got to move to Scotland. And Ann Lister is like, well, that's fine. I'm just going to go out on my travels. I'm going to go to Paris. First, I'm going to go to London. I'm going to probably get some booty with Mariana before I leave the continent. or the island, whatever y'all want to call it, et cetera, et cetera. Very sad, very sad. They part ways. I felt that right down in my bones. The absolute worst. Little cinnamon roll doesn't get no better. She just gets sadder and sadder and sadder. And Ann Lister's out there getting booty from some girl that is the worst example of that ex-girlfriend, just talking trash to her and making her feel guilty. But she does put on some pretty frocks, and we get to see her shoulders a good bit. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Our sweet little cinnamon roll gets so sad that she accidentally finds herself in a self-harming situation after breaking a glass because she misses her baby and she feels like she doesn't have a place in this world. And at the same time, Ann Lister is out in Denmark meeting the queen, dancing around gay Russian in a white dress through a ballroom at the queen's birthday. But something's just not right. Something just don't feel right. Everything's wrong. Cut to Dr. Kenny sending Ann Lister a letter saying that Aunt Ann has got the gangrene and she better get home because she gonna die. It is the winter and this bitch has to cross the North Sea in bad weather to get home to her Aunt Ann. Little does she know that little cinnamon roll has gained some courage thanks to her sister's pep talk. And she has decided she's taking control of her own life and she is going back to Crow Nest. She's going to go get her baby. Fast forward, Hilltop, Ann Lister's at wit's end. She is having a mental breakdown, which is quite ironic considering the fact that we saw our little cinnamon roll have many, and Ann Lister was always the one there for her. Little cinnamon roll comes up behind her. She's like, "It's all right, baby. I love you. I want to be with you. If you ask me to marry you again, I'd probably say yes." So she's like, "Girl, quit playing with me. Don't hurt me. I mean, I'm strong. You can't hurt me, but you know what I mean." And then they get married in York. And that's my recap in my own words.
You kind of rushed the end, but I feel you. Good what? Job.
No, well, no, 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 no. I was
trying. I know. I know. Brevity's not your thing, and I feel you. You did good.
It would have been much better if I had been given unlimited time.
We don't have just days and days.
That's how long it would have taken.
I know. I know. You're one of those really people that gives the details. You're like, and the bitch, and she said shit to me, and then she was wearing red sneakers. Can you believe she was wearing red sneakers? You ever see red sneakers? I bought some red sneakers one time in 1963, and they was the best red sneakers I ever owned. I love you.
And I love the texture of the suede on those sneakers.
Girl, that's why you are the writer, and I'm the comedian. I'm like, we got 5 minutes to say what we got to say, and you're like, no, we must take a lifetime to retort the loves and lives that we have lost. And I'm sorry, I was trying to get...
I mean, that's accurate.
I know. But no, because I've been trained to cut it short. And you know, that's your thing, is to like describe it all. Yeah. Let these people know.
But I've been trained to draw that shit out as long as you possibly can. You got to make the person live in your words.
Okay, you ready for my recap?
Let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Bum, 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 bum. Pocket watch. Spats. You can interrupt.
And now a recap by Jen Snyder.
Just interrupting my recap. That is so wrong. Made me cough and everything. So, pocket watch, sassing my dad, just got home. Bullshit. Hey, who's this hot blonde? Yeah. Oh, I should get into some coal. I need some money. Yeah, coal. Oh, fuck this bank dude. He's a dick. Now I want to go hang out with this girl I just met. So you think I'm cool? I think you're cool too. Yeah. We should do it under all these petticoats or frocks or whatever the English call them. But there's a whole lot of clothes to get to it. But she finds her way. And we kiss in the sham. Yay. And then, oh, the aunt sees us. And that damn James. Damn you, James. You should have been watching better. How dare you let that bitch open the door without knocking? Ooh, James, less chickens for you. And then somehow the cousin shows up. And now suddenly we playing backgammon for some damn reason instead of getting under Fromiers and shocks. And I don't even know. I've had too much Madeira. So anyways, back to Cole and having to deal with them bitches and Mr. Washington. And then somebody had to get killed in a pig nest because they is a bad daddy. And so maybe you should let your daughter marry the kid that killed his bad daddy. I don't know. This is a rough recap, man. Yours is better. It had more details.
I don't know. I mean, the I don't know was a really good plug there.
That's kind of how Thomas Washington was. No, not Thomas.
Well, kind of. I mean, he married a Washington
though. He did.
He took her last name. He Washington now.
He's like, girl, I'm trying to get away from my daddy pig killing past. So then, and then, so then Anne sends away Anne, and that's real sad. And then she goes back to bad ex-girlfriend who just be filling your head with all bad shit. She always be doing that. That's what bad ex-girlfriend does.
Ain't no booty worth that.
Mm-mm. Don't be judging me. I'm on a thermometer, bitch. I need this. That's my tool. That is my weapon against this world. I need to know what the temperature is so I can wear the appropriate amount of top hat and clothing. Anyways, so she's out meeting people, unimpressed by waterfalls. Queens is nice, but damn, you got to dress up with birds of paradise and whatnot. Even you can flirt with young hotties, but you haven't forgot your boo who's in Scotland, fucking Scotland, dealing with dicks, okay? Dicks and sisters and babies. Babies everywhere in Scotland. That's what they got in Scotland. Babies and dicks. And that's what she be dealing with. And no wonder she got upset and had a little accident. Whatever happened, I can't talk about because I get in trouble. And so then we going to talk about how they're both sad. And her sister says, you got to get the hell out of here. She's like, bitch, you right. So let me handle this business. And so finally, Nosy Bonnets does something damn right.
She do.
She do. She does something right. She got old Fussy Britches who can't like make a good decision, no good, but his wife handled it. She's like, we got to go
fussy
get her.
Fussy Britches and Nosy Bonnets.
Fussy Britches and Nosy Bonnets. Like, bitch, we got to get the carriage. And so they done got the carriage and they went to Scotland and they was like, fuck you, dude, with babies and bitches. And he was like, why can't we be civil? Mr. Brown Hat, never trust the brown top hat. And so then they done left in the carriage because Anne's like, I got this. I'm sorry I didn't tell you I was leaving, but bitch, I'm leaving. Anyways, bye, brown top hat. We out. And so they peaced out. But then Anne come home, you know, leg on high on carriage, looking hot, getting home, mad
no
at Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and Doctor's up against the wall. Why you make me come home early, bitch? Modest ass woman looking concerned. Aunt Anne's fine.
Bright as a button.
But the shit's gone wrong at the pits. Coal is bad. Coal is a bad, evil business. So we crying at the pits, throwing bricks down holes, and we real sad. And then here comes our baby, canoe on her shoulder, ready to give me a kiss. And then they kiss it out. They go. People asking why Anne ain't at the pig daddy killer wedding, but because she got better things to do because she had her own wedding. We finally wearing blue, like the queen said. Kissy, kissy, kissy. Stop looking at your wife. Watch, bitch. We ain't trying to move in today because we're going back to the hotel room to fuck. And that's my recap.
And scene.
And scene. Madeira, thank you so much.
So now that you've heard our recaps in our own words.
I feel like we're going to get some letters about my.
You know,
people are
going to
be like, Kristen's was better. She sounded like a classy, Julia Sugar Baker. And
there
you
was
sounded like
about
a Joe
mine
Dirt.
That sounded classy. Mine sounded like a very abbreviated letter. An abbreviated letter
it is
that
so,
details the course of events.
It's so sweet that you think that was abbreviated. Holy shit, I would hate to see you unleashed. Just let you go.
Welcome to Amanda's life.
I know. You give three examples
why,
of everything.
She tells me every time that I'm trying to tell a story, and no doubt she's heard all of my stories 40 times at this point. Every time she says, hey, sink the ship. She'll just stop me and say, sink the ship. And my mama has always done the same thing. She'll just be like, hey, how about make a long story short?
I'm so glad to know that. Here we are a year into our friendship and you're just now telling me how to quiet it down. Thank you.
Just look at me and be like,
buddy,
sink the ship. I'll know what you mean.
We're going to take a little pause here. All right, we're back.
So now that you've heard our
recaps
in our own words, I'm sure they were entertaining, to say the least.
Mine were Madeira words, and it wasn't so good, but what are we going to do?
At least it was funny.
We hope.
We're here for entertainment purposes.
We're
going to
get
moment.
Some letters.
We'll let emails. You know when we're here to educate. We'll come with an official disclaimer. Most people have to have a disclaimer for episodes when they get a little off the cuff. For our podcast, we'll give a disclaimer for when we're actually going to be educational.
Yeah, but it's not this one.
It's not today.
Today's just for funsies. Today's Madeira drunk on a Monday. Ooh, write a song about that. What's
drunk
that group?
On a Monday.
Madeira drunk on a Monday, because then it's almost an alliteration.
Oh, yeah. I love that five times fast.
I love an alliteration. I love with, yeah.
That's Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Yes. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, how many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick?
There we go. Exactly. Alliteration.
I just nailed that.
You did nail that. Spot on.
So, yeah. So, anyway, now that you've heard our recaps, we think that it's only fair to have a conversation about what we felt were some of the highs and lows of the season. Bum, 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 bum. I feel like this is sort of a similar situation of walking up to someone that you love and saying, do you want the good news or the bad news first? So we're going to hit with a high note.
Yeah, we'll start with the highs, I guess.
We're going to hit with a high note and we'll start with the highs. Jen, tell us some of your high notes from season one of Gentleman Jack.
Okay. High notes, all the fashion for me. Bought a pocket watch. Had to have it. Got a chain. Don't like it so much. Can we talk about that for just like 2 seconds? I bought this chain. It looked really cool. It had a wolf on it. And I was like, that's cool. Bitch, it came in the mail and it was like a
Final Fantasy.
I don't even play. And here's the thing. I'm not dissing gamers because gamers are adorable. I love that
And
shit.
I love Final Fantasy. I was really entertained when she told me this because okay. I love Final Fantasy.
I'm not judging that. I like gamers. I don't game because it's just not in me. Like, I'm old school Nintendo. Like, if you want to fucking, you know, play some Mario Brothers or Dr. Mario or Tetris, I'm all.
You down.
I'm your girl. But, like, I don't do new gaming. And so when I got it, like, I can't rock it because that's a poser thing to do.
Somebody is going to ask you. Yeah.
It's a poser. I'm not a poser. You know that about me. Like, I have long loved pocket watches, top hats.
Like, oh, yeah. I've always been saying that. You just got a good reason to be inspired.
Exactly.
Right the hell out of it
you
now.
Know, I've been talking about top hats for years. I've been saying it for years and years. And then I saw this show and I was like, bitch, that's who I want to be. And so
I've been properly represented.
Exactly. And I had a top, I already had a pocket watch, but it was from an ex. And it was like one of them sentimental. You can't rock a sentimental piece always because
no,
you're going to pull that
you don't
out.
Feel
and be,
that energy
every time. And it's not every a bad, it's not even a bad relationship. It was
it's
great.
Just not something you need on you at all times.
You don't need to be hurting and remembering that every time. So I don't have that watch and I didn't want to keep. So I got a pocket watch and then I got a chain and it was
Final Fantasy.
And then you told me which one was cool and I looked on it and I was like, it ain't even the cool one. It ain't even the cool one, man. Yeah. So. Thanks, Amazon Prime, for that. Anyways.
Here we are. Yeah. Highs. Fashion.
Fashion. Sorry. Bird walked on Madeira. All right. So the fashion was a high for me.
Shout out to Mr. Pie for all of the extensive work he did on the fashion.
The shoes alone.
The everything. Anne's great coat. The, like, the faceted high collar one that she wears.
Everything. I want some of those white spats. Where will I wear those? Don't give a damn. It's Columbia, South Carolina. I don't give a damn. I will walk up in the Waffle House with some spats on my feet and be like, what?
I get you a fancy cravat, will you wear it in the winter?
Yes, because I've been looking up
already.
Because
you wear a bunch of collared shirts and ties anyway.
You
so
know that's my fashion.
If I get you like a fancy cravat.
Yes. Yes.
Or like an ascot or something. Yeah. Do you promise that you'll wear it?
Absolutely.
What if I get you one with like a Funko Pop Ann Lister face on it?
That would be amazing. I'd write. Actually, the woman that sees me in a cravat is going to be like, that's my wife. I saw her across the way wearing a cravat and a pocket watch, and I thought to myself.
I mean, Jen, no homo, because I already have a wife. But like, I will say, the woman that I saw across the room in my single days that was wearing cravat, I too would probably be like,
hey.
Hager.
Yeah.
Dude, can I get your number?
Style is style, no matter what you do.
It's true. It's so true. Speaking of style, I'm going to take this absolute moment to shout out our pal Ashley Ross.
Yo. I want to steal her whole wardrobe.
You have got that style, though. Like, you can't pay to have that kind of style.
Oh, you can, and I can't wait until I have the money to do so. You can.
I mean,
it's awesome
physically, but the charisma that goes with the style, like she got the natural style.
That's true.
That you just can't. It's amazing. And it's badass. It yeah, if y'all sure. hadn't looked at her and her Photoshops that she does into the scenes, y'all need to take a look because her style is on point.
It is, for real. So fashion, high points. The comedy of the entire thermometer scene. So well done.
It really was.
And then the other two high point scenes for me, and believe it or not, it's not them making out in the chamier. The first kiss, though, high point for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But her leg up with the thermometer in the background while she's talking to the young hottie.
Who's with like, her diary on her knee.
You wouldn't marry for love. I wouldn't marry for love. And she's like, oh, bitch, I wouldn't marry for anything but love.
That's the only thing I got, Leah.
Yeah. And then the scene of her coming home. Hair all disheveled, leg up, you know, on the top of the gig as she's coming home.
Low pony, power always. Yeah. Low pony, always, for sure. Highs for me. Big shocker, I know. Saran Jones hands.
Sexual orientation.
Things that I'm thankful for in this life are the natural tics that Saran Jones has so tactfully placed in all of her back catalog, the touching of the lips and the fingering of glasses and just all the things she does with her hands. I almost passed out in the episode where, I think it's episode 5, when Anne is putting the salve on our little cinnamon roll shoulders, and you have to deal with the combined shock of Sophie Rundle's collarbones, shoulders, and upper back being touched by Saran Jones' hands. Like, there are a lot of, like, that's too far. It's cruel and unusual. And here in the United States,
that's a crime. That's a goddamn crime.
That goes against my Bill of Rights.
Oh, can I also throw in the high for when Saran Jones throws the pillow under Anne Walker's
Oh, yeah,
head.
And that was unscripted. And if you read the scripts are out now. We're probably going to cover a little bit of those, too, y'all. Don't worry. You know, it takes time to really formulate. That's going to be one of the episodes where we give a disclaimer that you're going to get educated.
Yeah.
But again, that's not today.
But I thought that was really cool. The straight girl knows that you had to put the head. You got to put the head under their pillow. The pillow's on the head.
The straight girl, but there was an article that was published recently, and it was posted in both groups on Facebook, where Saran Jones said that she had had some romantic relationships with women, and that ultimately she chose the path that she's on right now because she decided she wanted what her parents wanted. And I'll just leave it at that. We don't need to give an opinion.
No, but
there's no opinion necessary. We're all on a different path.
But she fucked some broads, and that's hot.
But she knew that you need to put that pillow under that girl head when you're about to get busy.
You want her to be comfortable because you're about to go to work.
And we got nothing but love for you, girl.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I'm down with that. Whatever
you need to do, boo boo. We'll be here waiting for you.
Your bisexuality is not defined by your marriage to a man.
I don't think that anybody's sexuality should have to be defined anymore.
No, I mean, you picked a person and then that's what you done. You got married.
Exactly. You know? And you know, for you and I, that sexuality happens to be
The fairer sex and only the fairer sex.
And that's it.
But you know what? I've said that before. And if I met a man that made me feel the way a woman made me feel, I would marry him. That ain't never happened.
That ain't going to happen.
It just never happened. And I've met lots of girl. I travel all over this country. Yeah. I meet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
You know, you might see a dude where you're like, you know what? You're pretty to look at, but keep your distance. 10 feet or more. It's just not.
Even the ones that because the Kensington scale, is that what it's called? The sexuality scale? You know, everybody falls.
Kinsey.
Yeah, Kinsey. That's it. Thank you, Google.
Bam.
Everybody, you know, there's a spectrum. Nobody's like, you know, one extreme or the other. And I mean, you could say that we are because we're gold stars, but that's not necessarily true. Like, you can be attracted to something and still not want to go through
doing it.
Doing it, yeah. But you can still look at them and appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like I, throughout watching all of Peaky Blinders, all of those guys, I was like, if you would like to stand in the corner with your shirt off and read me a bedtime story while I record that, and that would be fine.
I think that's what the coolest part about this show is that you have a lot of straight women. You have a huge arc of straight women who are sexually attracted, or not sexually, but this awakens something in them that they enjoyed, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
My interpretation truly is that even though all of this is covering this true story of what could arguably be the first modern lesbian.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well,
is that Sappho, is that they modern?
Okay, fair.
The first modern.
Fair.
Is that there's something so non-binary on gender representation and sexuality representation level about it, because there are a number of straight women. There are, you know, men. Yes, like there are
Trevor
people.
shout out to our boy Trevor.
You know that it's striking people across a number of demographics
because
as relatable. It's like they've taken this person, which was Ann Lister, who is someone that cannot be put in any box.
Yeah.
You cannot give dimension to this person who was so free. And because of that, there are all kinds of people that can identify.
Because there's nothing sexier than being yourself. And there's nothing that people really respect and admire more. And the same thing, by that same token, there's nothing people hate more. That's why people hate homosexuals. That's why people hate people of different colors, or, you know, that's why hate is. I read this quote one time that said, hatred is the coward's reaction to being intimidated in the first place. And that's the problem. That's why people hated Ann Lister, because she was her unabashedly herself. She never made apologies for being who she was. And that's why people conversely loved her and hated her. That's what she does.
Internalized self-hatred.
Exactly. And that's what it is. That's what it's all about. But that's why people are drawn to her. That's what people love about her. That's why there's entire groups devoted to this topic and devoted to this show, is because that really resonates in everybody.
It's one way or the other. It's a human disposition.
It is. And either you love it or you hate it. Either you're drawn to it. Either that's what you want for your own life, or you're like, fuck you.
There's no in between.
If I don't get to be myself, you damn sure don't get to be yourself.
But that also being said, that other extreme, the negative extreme there, those are people that really just need to embrace it more, because they have so much internalized self-hatred that they can't see that this is the most accurate representation of humanity
I've never seen. I've never met a homophobe that wasn't gay. I've never met a homophobe that I didn't think, that is the cock sitting in this cravenous lips of...
Same.
You know what I'm saying?
Same.
You hate in others what you hate in yourself. You know, if you really hate gay people, I bet you just love gay people. I bet you'd be searching really for the pretty ones for your posters that are like, fuck these homosexuals, these sexy, pretty mouth homosexuals. They're going to hell with their biceps and their perfect bodies. And I'd just be thinking about, these people know when gay pride is before I do. Why?
Because that's how it be.
That's how it be. Because you know what's really funny? There's nothing better, and y'all look out for this, when you go to a gay pride march, right? And you see the protesters, and they got their kids out there, and you just see this look in a few of them, like, boy, I sure wish I could be out there.
Yeah.
Wish I could go to pride. And you're like, it's cool. I'll see you in a few years. When you get away from that
damn
family.
I'll come and get you, baby. Yeah. I'll be right here, baby. I'll remember that face.
Boo, when I'm a rich and famous comic, I'll be making a halfway house for you. Come on to it. There'll be a safe haven for you. We'll take care of you.
We need so many of those. And you know what? I will take this opportunity to shout out a local charity in our community, the Harriet Hancock Center. Yes, the Harriet Hancock Center.
Jennifer Teague does a lot of great work with it. Her mama is Harriet Hancock. They work tirelessly for our community in Columbia, South Carolina.
I have raised money for them a number of times. And I will tell you guys that are listening to us right now, if you care about the marginalized LGBT youth in our communities, look up the Harriet Hancock Center out of Columbia, South Carolina.
It gets donate no more to marginalized. Them.
Yeah, it gets no, it really gets no more marginalized than that. Look that nonprofit up.
Yeah.
That is something worth giving your time and your money to.
Absolutely. And you guys, that's the thing. I really, that's what I love about this show is how, like, it's not polarizing. It's encompassing. It brings in everybody. You know, just like we were saying, straight, gay, you know, even like, even non-binary people, you could argue that Ann Lister's kind of non-binary.
Humans. It people. Brings humans.
It does.
Together.
We now have friends across the pond. And that's a cool thing to say.
All over the world.
Yeah. We've learned about crumpets and squash. I don't even know what squash is, but we're going to get some in the mail one day, y'all. And we're going to send out some Kool-Aid because that's where we're living. And Kristen done sent out a damn mac and cheese recipe.
My grandma's mac and cheese recipe.
Yo,
and
cool.
Miss Stephanie Kolvik is coming to stay with us in October. She's going to come have South Carolina Pride with us here in the street.
Here in the streets. Well, in the streets, too, because that's where we do our prides.
It's also in the streets.
We do our prides in the streets. But she's British military. Y'all, that's cool. A TV show, a television show about somebody who lived 200 years ago, brought people together in 2019.
And is encouraging all these people. I mean, I was an English major, so books, literature, reading, the written word, that has always been a passion of mine. But I feel like this show coming out has encouraged people to dive deep into literature, into Ann Lister's diaries, into the literature that revolves around her life, that revolves around the history in her lifetime. I mean, it's just incredible. It's inspired all types of people to be the best versions of themselves.
Bitch, you're about to write a book on a topic that you probably never even considered 2 years ago.
It was honestly putting it together never occurred to me until recently, but ironically, both topics that I was extremely invested in back in my
Because you'd already read about
years.
The diaries.
Oh, yeah. I had read some of Ann Lister's diaries in literature classes in college. Like, I was very aware of her years ago when I was young, and it was actually when we were all together, our little tribe, guys. It's myself and my missus and Jen and our good buddies, the Carpenters. We were having our little Sunday family dinner and Game of Thrones night.
Our fifth wheel Thrones night, as we do, because I'm single and friends with happily coupled up lesbian.
But don't get it twisted, y'all. Jen, our family. She don't never feel like the fifth wheel. her equal.
Yo, I'm the Ann Lister of y'all's family. I'll be strolling in with tales of my travels and.
That's true.
It is true.
Jen is a real life modern Ann Lister. I will tell you guys right now, like, there has never been a better example.
I'll be thinking of things to tell y'all while I'm traveling.
She does. She waits. She like plans things in her head. And then we get together for our Sunday night lesbian meeting.
And then I unleash them on y'all.
And she unleashes it in full performance mode. And she's like, I knew this was the right audience.
When you and Amanda are old and falling asleep by the fire, I will send you
much like Aunt Anne and Daddy Lister.
I will send you letters of my travels. And all the things I've done, and you'll read them and enjoy them, and then you'll fall back asleep.
And just a little aside, you guys, when that episode came out, when they were getting the letter from Anne, and Aunt Anne and Daddy Lister were falling asleep by the fire, Jen texted me that night as we were all watching it live, and she was like, when you get to this part, you are going to know, but all I can think about is you and Amanda. And it was that part. It was the part where Aunt Anne, Teddy Lister woke up from their nap long enough to read the news and then drift right back off to sleep.
Sitting upright. Not even in a bed. You don't need a bed.
You know that's how we are.
It's warm by the fire. I've had enough tea. I've had enough comforting tea and I'm ready for a nap.
Night-night, kitty.
Night-night, kitty. That's what Kristen Partner always says. All right, so.
So highs, we're keeping going on the highs. I already said Saran Jones hands. Yep. We talked about a number of different things. Highs for me, also, just the Chaumier in general.
That like, you would build a fuck Chaumier to get with your girl.
And like, I can't speak for everybody, but I will say, as a gold star, so I've been lesbianing for a long time. Like, my entire sexual evolution has been lesbianing.
Stop flexing. Go on.
I will say that, like, it was nice to be able to recognize that there, too, have been other people that have had to have designated locations for your lesbianing.
Oh, yo.
It meant a lot to me.
Yo, what? Let's talk about this right now. You ain't never fucked in a car?
Of course I have.
I mean, every lesbian in the whole damn world, right?
Like, in a park.
Oh, yo, let me tell you. I got to tell you this real quick.
Here we go, y'all.
I was outed when I was 16. Someone told my parents I was gay, and then I had to admit the shit. And then, y'all, they couldn't stop me having sleepovers because they had already said yes to it, and they couldn't say no after the fact. So much in high school because
like how you gonna say no you can't have any sleepovers
when you'd already been doing sleepovers. My poor mom and daddy, y'all. Got shout out to mom and daddy.
Yo, mama and daddy Snyder, y'all don't even know.
the best people in the world, y'all.
Another example of parents that should have just procreated because they just be spitting out awesome humans and loving all of them.
Yo, they are boomers, but they're woke as fuck.
Your mom and daddy are.
I hesitate to say this, but somebody in our family wouldn't go to another family member's graduation because they dressed in drag. And my dad was like, we're never going to their house again. We're done with that. Yo, he's 72, y'all. Like,
and he was like, I'm not going to tolerate somebody that's not. I am not going to tolerate that kind of hatred in my house.
Y'all, they're so woke. Sometimes I'm like, hey, calm down, okay? We're woke, but damn. But,
shout out to Mama and Daddy Snyder.
True facts. All right, so we're going to move on to the bad. I guess we got it.
I mean, before we move on to the lows, I'm just going to give a couple little shout-outs to the highs. Hilltop scene.
Oh, yeah.
All the very subtle tongue slipping in a couple episodes. Shout-out just various different body parts, like the smallest little things, like both of their beautiful legs shined by the natural sunlight episode 4.
Were that we all wear those white pajamas now. Can we just get who's selling them white pajamas? Get on that shit.
The Church of Latter-day Saints.
No, we don't support them. Listen, somebody else, a lesbian somebody, start making them white jammies and get your paycheck.
Wild Fang.
Shout out. Sponsor us, boo.
Wild Fang, y'all better be making those Ann Lister pajamas.
All right, last highlight shout out, intimacy director.
The intimacy director.
Thank you. She didn't tell them to use that tongue, but they just knew.
I don't know, man. The more I watch, I know that they had an intimacy coordinator, and God bless them for that because it really was jobless. Because it really was very accurate and well done.
No,
but
they
also, I'm no fool. And I know that when the script be like, make out, there's some element of that you have done and thrown in to that of your own flavor. We all got our own little way.
You said this to me before. You were like, that's just good acting. But I'm like, a little tiny bit of that is
improv. You improv in that kiss. You feeling
even,
that,
Cliff. Not even improv. Yeah, not even improv. That's just internal instinct of like, this is hot. I'm getting a little tingly. Holla back. Judge me if you want. Send emails. I don't give a damn. They felt it a little bit.
So our last high is going to be all of the beautiful intimacy in all of its forms.
It was so good. And okay, so let me start out the lows with that same token. The shame felt when Nosy Bonnets bust in on them.
But not really, though, because Ann Walker left, which she was did. Funny. It was like the only time in the whole show where she was like, fuck my anxiety. This is funny. I'm about to get some booty.
Okay, but listen here. As a gold star, as the aggressor on that kind of relationship,
right. No, okay, I read you right, you're right, you're right.
That feeling that comes with, like, knowing what you want when other people don't know what you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, are we really touching on this because we're drunk and I'm just saying this? But, like, no. Butch women know this. Women that have you're always right, wanted to be with women. There was always this element.
And not even necessarily, I know what you mean by yeah. Butch. What, from an aggressor standpoint.
From a predator like, yeah. point of view.
You say that. But, you know, there's been a lot of argument about that, too, where people have discussed, you know, some level of this being predatory. But I think that is a negative connotation towards someone that was just comfortable and knew what they wanted. Like, that's not predatory. That's knowing what the fuck you want.
That's fair.
And
that's
pursuing
fair.
And pursuing it within the realm of consent.
And seeing that in other people, because that's what gay people do. We do that. We need to talk about the fact that we do that. We recognize ourselves in others.
Yes.
We see that and we're like, bitch, I know you like me. And that's what Lister did.
Yes, and nobody that's living undercover, which she was every second of every day. I mean, yeah. She was still managing to live her life the way she wanted to.
But still.
But when you're living that undercover, and Jen and I both being gold stars and knowing that at some point in our life we would 100% live an undercover.
Yeah.
That is the only way you can identify somebody that you could possibly have something with is recognizing that part of yourself in another person and knowing, hey, I can bring this up. I can take it this far. And, you know, that's all of like Ann Lister's whole thing when she's just like, all I have to make her realize is that what she's feeling is love for me.
It's true, though. That's why
we all have that confidence.
Yo. Maybe did we?
Did we and we just didn't know it at the time?
Yeah, probably.
Like when we think about back to relationships that we had that young, did we have that confidence where we were like, we see this?
It's something that lives in every lesbian or gay person in general. It's something that you see, you know, like that take one to know one. I live by that because it's a fact. It takes one to know one. And that's what gaydar means. That's what all those things mean. And because that's the instinct that gay people have used
and
for a millennia.
And I know
for a millennia.
It's true. And I know there are people out there that will argue against that statement, takes one to know one. But
takes y'all, one
to know one.
Indeed. We're not wrong. No, and if you want to argue this point, I welcome
those.
We want
to hear about it.
Yeah. Send us back.
We will talk to you about it, honey.
Absolutely. Because, like, we need to have more queer conversations, not only for us, but for the younger generation.
Especially for the younger generation.
And I'm proud of them for not giving a fuck. Like, they don't care. They are really living their best lives, honey. They are transgendered. They are polyamorous. They are binary. They don't give a fuck. They are living their true, honest selves.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of them. I hope that they respect all the blood and tears that went into
that have been shed
to make that
for
possible.
That to happen. I mean, and even just up until the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really.
I digress. But I love you all, and I'm proud of you all for living your truth. And you guys, I can't believe we've gone into two segments on this, but we're going to take a quick pause.
We're going to take a quick pause, and we're going to get into these lows.
All right, here we go. The lows. Boom, 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 boom. All right, I'll start out with mine. Okay, the scene where Nosy Bonnets catches them. Because, like, as someone who has been caught in a moment
feel that nausea?
That shame.
That.
Yeah.
Just that sink in your stomach.
And you know your partner's going to be ashamed more than you are.
And you know you're more guilty. Because you really initiated it.
Like, and you wanted that to happen. That's what you wanted to happen. That you orchestrated this. You built a chamier for this to happen. I mean, who among us hasn't built a chamier? So, metaphorically, physically.
Does an ice cream shop after business hours count as a chamier?
Does a bar after business hours count as a chamier? They all count as chamiers. We've all had our fuck chamiers in our times.
The chamier is symbolic.
It's symbolic, yeah. It's metaphorical at best. But no, there really
somewhere
was a place.
Somewhere only we know. Chaumière is symbolic of somewhere only we know.
Sex Chaumière. Oh, man. Okay, so
Truth.
That was definitely a low for me. That moment.
Yeah,
that bugged
me. Them, that was rough.
And then all the times, and we've argued about this many times, but it doesn't matter, that Ann Walker was like, yes, no. Yes, no. It happens. Because you're not sure, because you've been trained to not be sure. I mean, me and you, we've defied that no matter what. Because we're like, no, I've been dreaming of princesses since I was in kindergarten and I had a He-Man bike. Okay, a little specific. But my point is, you get what I'm saying.
The same.
Right. Our whole lives, we've been like, yes, you should be the princess and I should be the prince.
The characters may have been different, but the plot is ever the same.
I get to kiss the girl at the end is what the plot is.
Once again, stereotypes that have stood the test of time.
Absolutely. 200 years. Anyways.
Or more.
More. All right. So give me a couple of lows.
Couple lows. I think that everyone... Sorry, Jenna's passing me her glass of Madeira because we're sharing the last bit at this point.
As you can tell, we're day drunk on a Monday. And
day drunk on a Monday and talking about the lows of Gentleman Jack. It's just so personal.
It is. Yeah, big sigh.
I think one of the lows for me, and it did hit me in a personal spot as like something that I experienced a long, long time ago. The whole situation with Mr. Ainsworth and that all that where she was just like, I'm in love with you. Like, I know what the truth is. But because this happened and because I'm this age and this man this and this man that.
You mean the rapist?
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve a name that when you were a rapist.
I know. And that's was a huge low for me. Like, okay. Just Ann Lister having to watch Ann Walker blame herself. For something that happened that wasn't her fault, and then having to deal with the fact where you know that what you have with this person is real, like it's abiding, it's simple and strong, and you're willing to be the strong man in the storm, but she's still second guessing herself. She's blaming herself for something shitty that has happened, and she's wondering if it is her. Like, if it's what she should do, or you know, everyone knows what I'm trying to say.
As is want a woman is to do. But, like, we didn't even mention this in our high points, but Cain in the face. High point for sure. Ann Lister, shut that shit down. Would that we could all put a Cain in the face of the rapist of our girlfriend, because every single woman out there has something similar.
I must tell you that there are not many things in my personal life that have been more empowering than jacking up a guy that has assaulted a woman. Has happened. Very satisfying.
Every
and
woman.
And felt like I had really, like, done a duty.
Yeah. Every woman that you know.
If you have the opportunity to jack up someone who has assaulted or abused a woman in any sort of way, that is, I recommend it highly. That is a level of violence that you will never feel guilty for.
But every woman you know, and people say that it's
in
8 out of 10.
In some way, shape, or form.
People say that it's 8 out of 10, but I don't
believe
that.
8 out of 10 willing to say yes.
10 out of 10. I don't know a single woman, myself included. And, you know, if you need to send a letter, please, because we will listen to that and we will hear you out. But myself included, I don't know a single woman that hasn't had that happen to them. Do you?
No.
I
can't think of one single woman that could honestly look at me and say that they haven't been undermined.
Sexually assaulted.
Assaulted, harassed, or any of the other
or
adjectives and adverbs you could...
Yeah, that definite low moment. Awesome,
that whole
empowering.
Situation.
Awesome, empowering that Ann Lister got to handle that. Like, would that we all could send a well-worded letter and a cane to the face, right?
Yes, and then the fact that, you know, even though Ann and took that bullet in the Ainsworth situation where she got to deal with it. But I think that we would be remiss to not give our sweet cinnamon roll the same applaud for knowing that her sister's husband was an asshole and an abuser and an aggressive person, and she still found a way to take control of her own life and say, I'm leaving this place. Like, I know what you're doing, and I'm getting out of here, Buster.
Our lows all include strengths. Our lows all include highs, because she did. Not only did she decide that she was going to get out of that situation, send the letter to Nosy Bonnet and Busy Britches, and they handled it like they
busy
should.
Busy Fussy Britches.
No, the only shout out I'll give to them is that they hustled to it. They were did. Like, bitch, we can't do it on Tuesday, but we can go on Wednesday.
And it speaks even higher volumes. You know, we always talk about how Anne's tribe, the people that knew Anne, were for the most part supportive of her as much as they could be.
Yeah.
As much as they could be. But on the same page, talking about fussy pants and
busy bonnet
and nosy bonnet.
Nosy bonnet, yeah.
Those Priestleys. You know, it's kind of back and forth, you know, where they were like, you know, we would rather deal with the fact that you might be having an inappropriate relationship with Miss Lister than you staying with this man who promised to get you help.
And has done nothing.
He's trying to pawn you off to someone that we know to be penniless and good for nothing. Like, we would rather deal with the fact that she might have a female companion. I mean, that's really sad.
I would rather you be gay than date a shiftless laser back.
Back in the 1830s, and let me tell you, I will admit, there were members of my own family when I came out that were straight up to me. There were members of my own family that were like, you know what?
Don't.
It's better for you to be this way than for you to end up with some.
Don't, because we're Southern. And the world is racist.
I wasn't going to say anything like that. I was just talking about, like, end up with some trash.
Oh, no. Well, that's true. But that is a Southern thing.
But, honey, we is from the Carolinas, so everybody knows what we mean. Like, like that's a real thing.
I've had
that's
people say that to me, but I'm like, no, I would still do that.
But
you say if you think that fucking where you're from limits whether or not I will get with you. It does not.
You are wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm an equal opportunity. I'm an equal opportunity.
Girl,
lover.
I'm country ass white trash. Does that appeal to you? would you like to fetishize that? Because I'm into it.
Greetings. I come from great stock of pure Irish bred.
Girl, if you ain't
pure
never
Irish bred meadow people and
if you ain't never watched
trash.
Minnie Pearl in a trailer, then you don't know what I'm talking about.
It's true though.
No. But, okay, and this is one highlight that we didn't remember, that we didn't mention. When Anne, that was a boss move. When she, in front of the brown top hat, was like, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. She knew, but she was covering her sister's ass. Because that's what women do.
Yo.
We look out for each other. And that was a boss ass. That was a highlight.
That is what sisterhood is supposed to be. And not even blood sisterhood. Women toward women. This whole life that we're living at this time that we're living it in. And even back then, forever, since the beginning of the differentiation of male and female, the importance of womanhood and our sisterhood is to view this not like a step stool. We are not a step stool for one another, but we are a ladder. We build each other up so others can climb to the top.
That's what women do. And even in these groups we're a part of, like you can watch it every day. Like people asking you to post selfies, talk about what you know. Like it builds women up. This show has built women
up. And so many
up.
People that are just willing to be like, girl, you might be having a hard day today, but it's going to be all right. We're going to enlister this shit. We're going to rise above it. You know what, Jen? I'm starting to see a trend. Like, we just went through all these highs, and we're trying to talk about the lows.
But the lows
are really high points, though, because the resolution of the lows is worth going through. It's almost worth going through the bullshit.
I was just about to say the same thing. That's how uplifting this show is. We've been sitting here trying to think of the lows, and we're like, but no, it's empowering because she done. No.
Like, yeah, it hurt me for a second, but then she rose above that shit, and I was like,
yeah, yo, it's just like her, the low of the scene where she says, you know, I rise above it every day because I'm used to it, because I know what that pain feels like. And you have lived your whole life as a
both fingers, straight fingers. I understand that you can't do it. But even in that moment, and that we have to wait two whole episodes to get resolution on that low, because that was a low. That was a low for Anne to stop in a moment of sexual intimacy and say that, crying.
And admit.
And it took, and admit, like, I understand why this is so hard for you.
It's just my life.
I've never had any other choice. I've never even entertained the idea of anything else. And it took us two episodes. It took us two episodes to get the resolution. But when Anne Walker first arrives home from Scotland, before she's even gone to Shibden Hall to find out that Anne is actually home.
At tea time on Thursday. Because everybody
at tea time on Thursday.
Everybody's getting there at tea time on Thursday,
bitch. And honey, that's what I'm going to call the fate tea.
But, you know.
She heard in the reminiscence when she sat down. When she sat down in her room when she first arrived home at Crowness, she heard the words of Anne from that night. I rise above it.
And so that's
you came
what she
so
did.
Close. And when she resonated on that, she thought to herself,
I can do better than close.
I can do better than close. I'm going to go get my baby.
And
that's why this show really doesn't have any lows.
It doesn't. We tried.
There were moments of temporary low.
Her getting beat up. That was awful.
Yeah, but she came out on top of that too. Yeah. Like when she met with Christopher Rawson, she was like, he went away clutching the family jewels. Next time you might want to send two or three.
Because you don't get to fucking beat us down.
And I took the time to find out who he was.
Yeah.
You know, like she won in the end of that. She took that beating. And she owned it.
I have to mention Hannah Gadsbury at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's that same kind of energy. I have been beat up for being gay. It has happened to me. I've had my property vandalized. High school was a nightmare. Like that kind of overcoming, that kind of, it resonated in more people than just me. I know it did.
And you've been able to turn that story around. Right?
You've
been able to turn that story around into something that, even though it was awful, you wouldn't change it.
No.
Because it has now become an element of your absolute being. And it was the same way with Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah. And Lister. It's what we do. We take the chicken shit and we turn it into chicken salad. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we do. Like, that's what gay people do. That's what queer people do. That's what non-binary people do. Hell, sometimes that's what straight people do. That's what fucking the kid that killed his dad in the pig pen did.
It's what we all do.
We take the best of a bad and we work our best to make it better. And that's why this show really lives inside of all of us and makes us all feel that commonality.
It's a representation of a lesbian story. And it's a true representation. But those themes and those values are things that we all live with every single day. We take the worst things possible and we turn them into something, into fuel that keep our feet moving, that keep our lungs breathing. Yeah. Just take one more breath, take one more step. One day you're going to have a better understanding of why this happened to you. This happened to you for a reason.
To teach you something to get you to the next level. It's all a learning process. Wherever you are right now, and I everybody that's listening to us, especially our North Korea listener, holy shit, you rebel. You turn me on, I don't know who you are. You might be a man.
I hope we get to
and
meet
I marry
you one day.
I will marry you, you damn North Korea listener. No, that's my point. Like, live your truth. No matter how painful, no matter how hard,
no matter the risk.
Are we really living
if we're not taking the odd risk now and then?
You sassy minx. No, you're right. That is what is to be loved about this show.
It really is.
Yep. And we promised the people a shorter show, but we went long.
But we really did. You know what, guys? This turned into being a much longer and more in-depth episode than we planned, which I think we're kind of grateful for, because we kind of went into this thinking that we were just going to cut and dry. Here's something to hold us over until our special long episode next week. But hey ho.
Hey ho. We're going to get emails like, you bitches need to shut up. What the hell was this? We're taking our sponsorship.
And you know what? If that's the case,
we still love you.
It's okay. Ah,
we didn't even plan that, but we were both like,
we still love you.
Our whole agenda in life is love
and authenticity.
Yeah.
If we're a little long-winded sometimes, you know what?
If we're
both of us are aware of the fact that we can be annoying occasionally. So just tell us.
If we're a little Madeira drunk on a Monday,
so be it. You wish you were.
Then maybe they write a song about it. All right.
Madeira drunk on a Monday.
Madeira drinking on Mondays. Okay. So predictions. Let's tighten it up.
Tighten it up. We're going to hit the end
real quick. Give
okay.
Your predictions.
Season 2 predictions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So based on my readings of the diaries, and I have been reading some of the excerpts that they have asked to be translated. I've been trying to do some of the translations myself. I'm gonna guess that season one kind of went over the course of 2 years, and I think that season two will probably follow about 2 to 4 years. So I'm gonna guess, since we're going off the diaries and this has been like the most historically accurate screen adaptation that I think I've ever seen, I'm gonna think that we'll probably see Anne and Anne's honeymoon, of course. Like, that's probably going to be like the 2 episodes of love scenes that we get to see. Like, that's probably going to be it. And we'll get the, like, a little honeymoon phase. And then I think that we'll probably see the restoration of Anne Lister's uncle's home in Halifax into the resort and casino. I think that we'll see that ribbon cutting where Anne Walker actually spoke and they buried the time capsule. And I think that we'll see a little bit of their marital conflict as well, because some of those years after their marriage were pretty rough. And I'm also thinking that we'll probably see a little bit more of Anne Lister's true behavior toward her tenants, as far as like trying to force her political views on her tenants since she was a woman and she couldn't vote. I think we'll see a little bit of that, and we'll probably see the effigy burning that was already foreshadowed a little bit in season 1 when Anne Walker.
Twitter.
Twitter. That actually popped off, much to our surprise. But that was already foreshadowed when Anne Walker had the dream of them being carted to the nooses. It actually showed the effigies of them in the background, and that happened in real life. So I think that season 2 will actually show that actual historic happening of the effigies and their favor being burned. And oh, there was one more thing, and it's escaping my brain right now. I'm hoping by the time I finish
Madeira.
But you know, they started having the regular marriage qualms where they just sort of started annoying each other.
Like you do.
As you do. Like, the honeymoon phase don't last forever.
Does it? All right, can I go?
It's your turn. Predictions.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, okay, listen. If you need to know who Kristen and I are in this podcast, imagine you have a group for college and you have to do a group project. I'm the person that parties and doesn't contribute anything and then shows up at the last minute to get the A. And I always pick Kristen to be my partner because that bitch smart. And I have coasted through college this way. No, I'm just kidding. I have a GED. I'm not smart. But no, she's a smart one. She knows the things.
I will get that degree for you, baby.
I appreciate you, bro. I did. Thank you for carrying me, bro. I'm just adorable and clueless. That's who I am.
It's all about what you learn, not necessarily what you present.
Yo,
and I just happen to be a gifted presenter.
That's my favorite thing about this podcast, is how much I've learned about other cultures, things I didn't know. I mean, like, you know me, I'm a lovable stoner. I'm not going to learn about 1832 on my own, but this has made it possible for me. So,
well, as a fellow lovable stoner, I can tell you that you too can learn about 1832.
It's been amazing.
With a smile on your face.
Even dummies can enjoy this show. So my predictions are Busy Bonnet's going to have something to say about them moving into Shibden Hall.
Oh, yeah, because you know they got to get up with the tribe.
I know, yeah, because you got to take the gig and U-Haul. You get it. And
let
move,
me go ahead and get my stuff.
My favorite part of the last episode was she's like, well, it won't fit all my stuff. I was like, bitch, I have a bonnet for every outfit, okay? You do not have closet space enough.
You're going to have to build me an extra room.
Hey, girl, yeah. I cannot wait till a woman comes into my life and be like, I don't have room. Let's move it out. That's the wish of every butch lesbian. Does some woman come in
find
and
find a woman that is like, I need more closet space?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yeah.
Baby, who hurt you?
I just want a woman with more clothes and fashion sense than me. And I'd be like, oh, shit.
See, I like
somebody got to buy enough bow ties to keep up.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd be in those relationships with women that are like, we're going to share each other's clothes.
See, that's who you are.
Forever.
That's who you are. You are that person. Like, and I love you
for
that.
We got a little Sporty Spice. Yeah, we got a little Butch. We got a little Femme. Like, we got a little bit of everything. No matter what, between the two of us, we got it all.
Look who's bras and just increased by two. Shut up. No, I don't like that shit. I'm the kind of girl that's like, you come home and you're wearing my boxers. But it's like, oh, what the hell?
That's a surprise.
You ain't never going to come home. When I'm special. Wearing your thongs, you ain't never gonna do that shit. You ain't never gonna come home to me wearing your fucking garters and two-piece bra and panty set, but you'll wear my boxers to bed because they comfy. Fuck.
Yeah, but shout out all the girls out there that actually wear thongs. I'm just saying, as somebody that occasionally wears dresses, I'm here to tell y'all right now, y'all women's, I would rather wear no panties at all than wear some thongs. Like that's an acquired skill.
What I'm saying right now is I want you to come into my life and wear my bras and also your two-piece garters and thongs. Because I'm fine with that. You know what I'm saying? You'll never catch me in your Victoria's Secret panties and you don't got to worry about it. And that's what I promise you as a lover. Okay. So,
carrying on with predictions.
Predictions. So the pit is going to be more money than it's worth. There's going to be some bullshit about that pit. And Jeremy Ross, we have not seen the
Jeremiah end. And Christopher.
Yeah, we've not seen the end of them. There's going to be some bullshit with them. I haven't read the scripts like you have, so I'm... Girl, Casino.
That's going to be a whole nother episode. That's going to be the episode after our Fried Green Tomatoes episode. Yeah. I'm still picking through those. I'm going to have to provide some documentation
I love the casino idea. What is 1832 casinos?
I think it was 1836, actually.
There's a rat under a cup.
I might be wrong. Somebody correct me, but I think it was actually 1836.
They've been married for 4 years.
They've been married. Yeah. Well, no. They've been married for about 2 years.
Okay. And they...
Because season one covered 32 to 34.
Okay. And so they got some... They're probably bitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't take out the trash enough. You ain't bringing home enough chickens. Why the fuck is James still letting people in? You're not grumbling enough. There's never enough grumbling. Lesbian grumble death.
I just shed a tear.
I know.
I just shed a tear for lesbian grumble death.
You guys.
R.I.P. A moment of silence.
So I think that's pretty much it for predictions.
We might cover on this later. Anyway, we just gonna move right along. We're gonna do our Gentleman Jack nomination for the week.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Girl. Sonia Lucas. Our girl.
Hooked it up.
Y'all, we were so excited to do the finale episode. We were ready for it. We did it. We really and truly lost 30 whole minutes of audio that we had to redo. And then we thought we lost another 30 minutes completely. And we were completely devastated. But our girl, Sonia,
hooked it up,
who actually does this professionally, she was able to take the file that we were able to render and recover half of what we had lost. And were it not for her, that last episode... Like, I mean, y'all, we were emotional.
It probably wouldn't have happened because I had things to do. I had show to go
yes,
to.
Yes, we both were just inundated with responsibility, and we want to give this Gentleman Jack nomination Sonia Lucas. She was out that night with her wife.
Aww.
She was having personal time.
And she hooked it up like that?
And it was within seconds of me telling her what our issue was. She was like, I'm heading home right now. She told us what to do. She sent us the file via Dropbox, and it came out perfect.
We're so lucky. This group has been amazing.
It really has.
Like all the groups, Gentleman Jag, HBO, and BBC One fans, Lister Sisters Off Topic. Like, we have come together in a community in a way that I can't imagine.
We're family.
Yeah. We get tagged and stuff. Amanda Price.
Yep. Her visit to Shibden Hall.
And she tagged us in the modern ass woman. And I was like, and y'all
modest
be using
ass woman.
Y'all be using that cinema roll term. And I love y'all for it. And y'all, it just makes us feel so lucky and blessed to be a part of this. Like, we're two country bumpkins from Columbia, South Carolina, and we have people from all across the pond talking about what's squash, what's Kool-Aid.
And it's just wonderful because
it's amazing.
We are people of the world. We love getting to know everybody and what your cultures are.
Yeah.
And kind of trying to assimilate
to
some of that because it makes us feel like
we're learning something.
We're learning something. And you know what? No, are you really living?
If you're not learning.
If you're not learning. Every day should be a school day.
So thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for paying attention. Thank y'all for teaching our country asses something. Crumpets. We can't wait to try them.
Cannot wait.
Amanda Price, our foreign correspondent.
Our foreign
correspondent. I've had a few Maduras.
But really, shout out to Sonia Lucas. You took the time out of your night to make sure that we were able to make this podcast happen. And that is really what a gentleman Jack is. You went above and beyond to help your sisters. We love you. Thank you.
Let us know where to send your certificate.
Your certificate.
Sonia Lucas, thank you so much. You're amazing. You're a gentleman Jack of the week. All right, so we got a new country. What is it?
We have one new country this week. Austria, we welcome you to the dance.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you to all the countries we've already mentioned. Thank you for North Korea.
Yeah,
you
we'll
little
always
rebel.
Say we'll always say thank you.
Marry me, girl. Folks. Where are you at? Like, come on to America. I got you. Thank you for everybody for listening. We love you so much. We'll be back with the week, and we'll watch Fried Green Tomatoes.
Fried Green Tomatoes is going to be a special movie episode, and shortly after that, we'll have the Bronte Lister series coming up for you. And we did want to just take a little second to recognize a huge achievement that Jen has right now, just to let you guys know.
I'm going to be on a show called Punching Below the Bible Belt on Amazon Prime. So it shoots September 7th. So look for it in the near future. And I'll let y'all know when that is. And you guys can watch it. And thank y'all for listening. And as always, give them our email address.
One more time, our email address is tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com. Email us anything.
Yep, and give us your Gentleman Jack nominations. We love y'all so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week with the Fried Green Tomatoes podcast.
Oh, it's going to be so good, you guys. And sorry, I just sneezed, but bloopers give us character.
Yay! We love you all. See you next time.
Auf Wiedersehen.